Mein Schickkopf zu Bestia, Krippes in der Bay, Bestia, Petit. Once, while the boys were engaged in their transcendental pastimes, a great demon of the name Palambasura entered their company, desiring to kidnap both Balaram and Krishna. In fact, one day, Palambasura, who was a friend of Kamsa, he went to see Kamsa, and he saw that Kamsa was looking very depressed. What is the problem? You don't know? Everyone I send to kill Krishna, all my friends, all my stalwart and powerful associates, they've all been killed one by one. He said, I am here. What is the problem? And he thought, another moth is rushing to the fire. She said, I will capture him. I will bring him to you. So he decided, very similar to Vatsasura in a sense, because Vatsasura had asked, who is most dear to Krishna? And the answer was the calves. So Palambasura didn't take on the form of a calf to try and please, try to infiltrate Krishna's ranks, but he took the form of a cowherd boy, because this was Krishna in the midst of his cowherd boy pastor. But even though, so he was planning on taking Balaram and Krishna and throwing them on over his back, and then just like this, it's so powerful, and then it's bringing back to Kamsa and say, here they are, do what do you want to do with them? But although Krishna was playing the part of a coward boy, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could understand everything, past, present, and future. So when Palambasura entered their company, Krishna began to think how to kill the demon. But externally he received him as a friend. Oh, my dear friend, it is very good that you have come to take part in our pastimes, even though you have come a little bit late. And then he said, because the boys had been playing like with their different kingdoms and kings and prime ministers. So Krishna said to Palambasura, you are so dear to me that I want to keep you with me all the time. So when they started playing with the playing, dividing into teams, Balaram's team and Krishna's team, Krishna, by saying that, kept Palambasura on his side. And then, because he was going to do something quite amazing, this side, Krishna's side, was going to lose. And he wanted Palambasura to have the full opportunity, because they had played, they had made up the rules that whosoever team lost, they would have to carry the members of the other team on their shoulders. They would put him like this, and they'd go faster, like that. And they would play like they were horses or something like that. So whoever's team lost, they would have to carry the other members upon their shoulders. So Krishna knew everything, past, present, and the future. So when Palambasura entered their company, Krishna began to think how to kill the demon. But externally, he received him as a friend. Oh, my dear friend, he said, it is very good that you have come to take part in our pastimes. Krishna then called all his friends and ordered them Now we shall play in pairs. We shall challenge one another in pairs. With this proposal, all the boys assembled together, so they made their two teams, and Krishna was the head of one team, and Balaram the head of the other. And Prabhupada explains, some of them took the side of Krishna, and some of them took the side of
Balaram.
Ah. And they arranged to play in duel. Duel means when two parties are opposing each other. So they fought. The defeated members in duel fighting, had to carry the victorious members on their backs, as a horse carries its master. They began playing, and at the same time they tended the cows as they proceeded through the Vandirvan forest. Now, what happened? One team won, and immediately they started arguing with each other. One group said, we won, didn't we? And then the other team said, no, you lost, we won. Because this is the way that boys play. So finally, they agreed that indeed that Krishna's team had lost. That means that Palambasura, who was on Krishna's team, he had to carry someone on his back. And Krishna, too, had to carry someone on his back. The party of Balaram, accompanied by Sridham and Rishabh, they came out victorious. And Krishna's party had to carry them on their backs through the Bandiravan forest. And they set it up at the actual Bandiravat, the actual tree, that was the point that they had to carry them to in order to that was their penalty. They would have to carry the opposing party and be harassed by them and being slapped by them and beaten like horses up to the Bandiravat tree. Big, beautiful tree. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being defeated, had to carry Sridham on his back. Vajrasena carried Rishabh, and imitating their play, Palambasura, who appeared there as a coward boy, carried Balaram on his back. This was by Krishna's arrangement. He carried Balaram. And Palambasura, the greatest of the demons, he calculated that Krishna was the most powerful of the coward boys. So he decided he would take, before he thought that Krishna was an ordinary boy. But then Krishna gave him a glimpse of his power. And suddenly he saw that Krishna was so powerful and he became frightened. So he decided not to take both of them, but to just take Balaram far away. Especially for Krishna. In order to avoid the company of Krishna, Palambasura carried Balaram far away. The demon was undoubtedly strong and powerful, but he was carrying Balaram, who was compared to a mountain, and therefore he began to feel the burden, and thus he assumed his real form. So he had Balaram on his back, and he was supposed to go to the Bandiravan tree carrying Balaram. But then, two things happened at once. Because his real plan was to go far beyond the Bandiravat tree, his plan was to take him as far away from Krishna, Balaram as far away from Krishna as possible, and to kill him and to bring him to Kamsa. And that was one of the things that happened, that he kept on going past the tree. And everyone was amazed. Hey, what's happening? And then a second thing happened, that Balaram suddenly began to feel heavier to him. And he could no longer maintain his form as the coward boy, and then he assumed his real form. And when he appeared in his real feature, he was decorated with a golden helmet and earrings, and he looked like a cloud with lightning carrying the moon. So he was a dark cloud, and he was carrying the moon, who was compared to Balaram. And Balaram observed the demon's body expanding up to the limits of the clouds, and the demon's eyes were dazzling like blazing fire, and his mouth was flashing with sharp teeth, and also his teeth were pointed upwards.
Wow.
He was really horrible. And Balaram immediately thought, and he was blackish like a cloud, and effulgent in gold, carrying the moon. And Balaram began to wonder, how is it that all of a sudden this carrier has changed in every way? But with a clear mind, he could quickly understand that he was being carried away from his friends by a demon who intended to kill him. And he looked to Krishna. First he became somewhat frightened and upset. Now how is it possible? This is quite astounding. First of all, he's playing the part of an ordinary coward boy. But then he became somewhat even surprised, as it said here, when his carrier, who was Palamasura, changed his form from a boy into his actual form that was so powerful and horrendous and terrifying. Balaram became filled with wonder, and he didn't know what to do. And some of the acharyas comment different ways on this, and we shall talk about it in a moment. We've already mentioned it. How is this possible? But he looked to Krishna for what to do. And Krishna, either indicating with his eyes or saying it aloud, one way or the other, he told Balaram, now isn't the time to forget how powerful you actually are. And then immediately, Balaram, we can say, remembered or became conscious of his great powers, and he struck the head of the demon with his strong fist, just as the king of the heavenly planet strikes a mountain with a thunderbolt. And being stricken by the fist of Balaram, the demon fell down dead, just like a snake with a smashed head, and blood poured from his mouth. And when the demon fell, he made a tremendous sound, and it sounded as if a great hill were falling upon being struck by the thunderbolt of King Indra. So Balaram's fist and his striking of Palambasura was compared to a thunderbolt striking a mountain. So who is the mountain?
Palambasura.
So what does that tell us about Palambasura? If you think of Palambasura like a mountain, what does it tell you about Palambasura?
Huge,
heavy, immovable. He was so powerful in that way. And Balaram, his power was like a thunderbolt. And how powerful is a thunderbolt? Very terrifying and powerful. So the demon fell down dead with his smashed head, blood pouring from his mouth. All the boys then rushed to the spot. So first let's talk, that begins the final part of this pastime about what happened and how did everyone react to this. But first, let's understand something about Balaram. Now when Balaram was playing, he had entered so deeply into the mood of a coward boy that he became forgetful of his actual position and his actual power. Again, this is quite natural. This is the effect that both Krishna and Balaram, and also the coward boys, experience because of their incredible full manifestation of ecstatic love in relationship with Krishna and with in Krishna, Krishna and his relationship with his devotees. When Krishna is with his devotees, he remains the same person, but he becomes unconscious, in a certain sense, of his unlimited power. Because, why? Because if he's thinking of himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the all-powerful, as unlimitedly powerful, then there can't be any exchange of love and affection between him and his devotees. So Krishna prefers to exchange rasa, the sweet mellow of loving exchanges with his devotees, then he prefers that. He prefers that to understanding that he's the supreme, all-powerful Lord. Because if he's conscious of his unlimited position, that gives a certain amount of pleasure, but when he gets more pleasure when his consciousness is engaged in loving exchanges with his dear most coward boyfriends. So, as we mentioned before, if a very, very, very wealthy man was here, very, very wealthy, and we knew how wealthy he was, we couldn't carry on an ordinary sweet, loving dealing with him, because we'd be always aware of, oh, he's so wealthy and he's so powerful. And maybe we'd be thinking, can I get anything from him or something like that? But we wouldn't be able to have an ordinary dealing with him, because knowledge of his position would push all ordinary thoughts of dealing with a person out of our mind. And on the other hand, if someone is a very, very wealthy person and he walks in, but in addition to him being very, very wealthy, he was one of the children you grew up with in Bombay, in your apartment, in one of your buildings nearby, and used to play with him and wrestle with him and everything, play cricket with him and whatever. So then, and then maybe he became a very, very wealthy person. So when you see him, sometimes you'd be aware of his wealth, but then other times when you were really talking, you just think of him as you always thought of him for so much of your life, as your dear friend. And your affection as a friend would cover up, not that you don't know how wealthy it is, but when the affection is moving, you'd be talking about, oh, remember this happened, remember that happened, and I remember how I used to fight with you, and I used to beat you all the time. No, no, you didn't beat me, I always beat you. You know, you'd just be playing, and then in the midst of that kind of a mood, you'd forget that the person is actually a very, very wealthy person. So, not that he stops being a wealthy person, but it's not in your consciousness when love becomes dominant. Or, the other way around, that wealthy person, when he walks in, he knows that everyone's looking at him and smiling because they know that he's a wealthy person. But then when he gets alone with his old friend, they're talking about the old times, they push each other, they're laughing, they're playing. And he even forgets, oh yes, I'm a wealthy person. He forgets that. And he remembers himself quite differently. He's just remembering himself in relationship to his old friend. So the same thing happens with Krishna. When Krishna is with the residents of Vrindavan, their relationship is so thick and so deep, and there's so much love between them, because Krishna's natural position as a lover, bhakti vatsalya, atma pajanta vadanyata, that gives himself to his devotees. So Krishna, even out of the depths in the relationship, he even forgets himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not that he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that aspect, self-consciousness, becomes overwhelmed by the love of his devotee. So it moves from his consciousness. So Balaram was playing with the coward boys in Krishna, and he was so overwhelmed with love that he forgot that he is the primary expansion of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, you could say he's the only expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all other expansions come from him. So, although he's as equally powerful as Krishna, practically speaking, but in the association of these loving devotees of Vrindavan, he had completely forgotten. He was so involved in playing with them that he completely forgot his position as the Supreme Lord. And therefore Krishna said, when Palambasura was carrying him away, Krishna indicated to him, now isn't the time to forget that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now isn't the time for you to forget how much power you actually have. Because you have to keep that when you're with your friends. And this one, you thought he was your friend. Of course, Balaram knows everything. You thought he's your friend, but he's actually not your friend. Just see how your carrier has changed in every way. He's an asura. He's not your friend. So you have to become conscious of who you are. And so Balaram said, yes. And he struck him with his fist. And what was that compared to? Thunderbolt striking a great hill or a great mountain. And his head smashed just with that. And blood poured from his mouth. Like a snake with his head smashed. Why is he compared to a snake with his head smashed? One reason is obvious, because his head was smashed, just like a snake's head is smashed. But what's the special quality of a snake?
Envious.
Envious, and what does that mean? What does it mean that someone is snake-like and envious? What's the quality of a snake in that way? Snakes and scorpions have this quality of envy. Why are they considered?
They resent others.
So much so that I heard Prabhupada describe it, saying that if there's even a mouse, and he's in the corner, and you try to grab him, he'll bite you. So can you blame the mouse for biting you when you're trying to capture him in the corner? No, he's just acting. Anyone will do that. If you have anyone cornered, even a mouse, he'll strike at you. You're trying to hurt him, he's naturally afraid, and he'll bite you. But a snake and a scorpion will bite and even kill someone when they're asleep and not bothering him at all. Or if you're just walking down the road or something, a snake might come and bite you. So without committing any offense to a snake, they'll even cause your death. So this is considered enmity, behavior in enmity, or behavior in envy. Because you don't even cause them any trouble. So Balaram, what did he do wrong to this Palambasura? He didn't do anything wrong. And yet, he tried to carry him away and kill him. So he ended up, because he was like that, so when anyone sees a snake, what do they immediately want to do?
Run.
Run.
Kill it.
Yeah, immediately. You want to kill it. And there's no fault in killing a snake, actually. A snake and a scorpion, there's no fault. This is described in the 9th chapter of the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, when Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to to Lord Nrsimhadev, and he says that because Lord Nrsimhadev had just killed his father, so, and Prahlad was speaking to him, so in case Lord Nrsimhadev was thinking that Prahlad might be angry with him because he had just killed his father, Prahlad instead said, no, my father was, he was just like a snake, and no one is unhappy when a snake is killed. And Prabhupada, when he was lecturing on that, he told the story of how once in the year 1933, he was visiting Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, when his Guru Maharaj, the Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, was there. So somehow or another, Prabhupada said that he was bathing by the pump. And nearby, they caught a very, very big snake. In Mayapur, there are so many snakes. It's a very villagey area. So they were wondering what to do with the snake. And Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, and you can still see the place where he was, even to this day, there's a balcony atop the building where he was staying, a veranda. So he came out on the veranda and they said, what should we do with the snake? And he said, kill him. So they killed him immediately. So Prabhupada said, for years, I was wondering why Guru Maharaj said to kill him. And then he said it was like a doubt in his mind. So, and then when he read this verse, where it said that no one is unhappy when a snake or a scorpion is killed, that he felt relief from that. You've heard that little story? And why? Because they're so envious. These animals are so envious, the scorpion and the snake, the lowliness of one's position in the wheel of samsara is measured by envy and enmity with other living entities. So because these creatures have enmity with every other living entity, without any living entity even disturbing them or anything, they have enmity with them. Therefore, if they are killed, they're down so low, they can only go up in their next birth. That is the idea. So it's even for their benefit that they are killed. And also because these creatures don't do any good. So he's compared to a snake. So then, like a snake with a smashed head, because that's what happens to snakes. That's when anyone sees them, they try to kill them. And blood poured from his mouth. And when the demon fell, he made a tremendous sound, and it sounded as if a great hill were falling upon being struck by the thunderbolt of King Indra. All the boys then rushed to the spot, because they saw that Balaram was being carried away, and they saw that the carrier, who was just a coward boy, had suddenly changed into this huge, blackish demon. And then and he was carrying Balaram away, and they loved Balaram more than they loved their own lives. So they were so disturbed by this, and they went running. And then Balaram smashed the demon's head. And he began to bleed, and he fell to the ground. The demon fell to the ground. And all the boys rushed to the spot. And they were astonished by the ghastly scene. Look what Balaram has done. This great demon is now dead. Blood is pouring from his body. And they began to praise Balaram with the words, well done, well done. Sadhu, sadhu, very good. And all of them embraced Balaram with great affection, thinking that he had returned from death. So when someone you love is in a very difficult situation, and then when they return and with the situation completely reversed, that they are saved and the difficult situation is completely overcome, then how much happiness will one feel? If someone we don't know or we don't like or we are not the well-wisher of is in a dangerous situation and suddenly it turns into a good situation, then we don't feel anything. But the boys, they embraced Balaram. They were so happy because they loved Balaram so completely and so sincerely, because Balaram was so lovable. They were thinking that he had returned from death, and they offered their blessings and congratulations. All the demigods in the heavenly planets became very satisfied, and they showered flowers on the transcendental body of Balaram, and they also offered their blessings and congratulations for his having killed the great demon Kalambasura. So Balaram, before chapter 15 in the 10th canto, before the killing of Dhanukasura, Krishna had killed so many demons already, but Balaram hadn't even killed one demon. But now he killed Dhanukasura by swinging him around, throwing him into the tree, and he also now killed Kalambasura by smashing him with his fist. And all the boys felt great happiness, and the demigods felt great happiness, and according to who they were, they praised Balaram. The boys embraced him and said, "Well done, well done, sadhu, sadhu." And the demigods showered flowers from the heavens. So which one did Balaram appreciate the most?
Boys.
He liked, yeah, because why did he like the boys? Because the relationship was more intimate. The demigods did something that the boys seemingly couldn't do. So, and the demigods superficially appear to be more powerful than the coward boys, but actually the coward boys are so powerful, unlimitedly powerful, practically speaking. So that is the killing of Kalambasura in the forest of Bandiravan. What else happened in the forest of Bandiravan? There was the Bandira tree, and there in the Bandira tree we go. It was by the bank of the Yamuna then. Now it's not far from the bank of the Yamuna. But then it was even closer. Now it's over there. It's on that side. Not on. It's quite close to the Yamuna, because the Yamuna, it's very tricky. It flows like this. It goes from here to here, and here, and then here, to Mathura. So Keshagat is over here. So first it goes around, like this. First it goes like this, and then like that. So Vrindavan town is like on this edge. They're surrounded by the Yamuna. So where Bandiravan is, it's over there. I can see this where it is, and the Yamuna is just over there. And on the other side of the Yamuna from Bandiravan is different places. There's like Nandagat and Ramagat. That's just opposite Bandiravan. Did you see that?
I didn't know that.
They're very close, but on the opposite, just across the Yamuna.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you photo later. Yeah. Very nice places. These places aren't congested like Vrindavan is now, very congested with people and concrete and so many people and building houses and ashrams. But those places, it's just simple farmland. And the people are more simple there. Because the people around the Vrindavan area, because there's so many tourists come, and people from from Delhi and people from Gujarat come. But they just come basically as tourists. They drive in their cars on Sundays. And sometimes it can take 3 hours for the car to get from, just to get out of the, to the road. Because there's so much traffic on Sundays. And mostly they come from Delhi, not Gujarat. The problem is there need to be more Gujaratis there. But, yeah, so nice. But it's so covered and crowded. But these places are just, it's just farmland, just like in the days when Krishna would tend the cows and the grains would be grown in these areas by Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man. And very soothing, very peaceful. Also, near there is one. Yeah, there are so many vats. And there's Akshay Vat. You know that Japa Meditations book? That photo of the two cows was taken at Akshay Vat. Have you been to Akshay Vat? Remember that one? Nice tree. You've been there? You've been there? Next time. Where are you from?
I am from Pune.
Pune, very good place. You are Marathi?
I am Konkani.
You are what? Coconut?
Konkani. Konkani,
Konkani is what?
Konkani is Goa, you could say. Close to Goa.
Yeah, Goa.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you are from Goa area?
Coastal Karnataka, actually.
Oh, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's an incredible place, actually. It's so green.
Mm.
But between the mountains and the sea? The coastal point?
Close to the seashore, so it's more...
green. Because I traveled on the train a few times.
Very dense forest.
Yes. It's quite different from North India.
Yeah.
North India is quite dense desert. And then I remember when we, because the train to Udupi from Bombay goes in that coastal area. Have you gone?
Yes. I have traveled usually by, not by train, I've just traveled once by train, but usually by a car.
But when you, but it goes on the same road?
Yes, along the same road.
So, but very beautiful area.
Yes.
It's all green and there's rivers and the people look peaceful and everything is, everything grows and the farmland is wonderful there. What are you doing in Perth? Why did you come here? Why are you even in Pune?
Because my, right from my grandparents, probably they moved from south to Bombay, from Mumbai. So
you are a Bombay boy?
Yes. Then I moved to Pune, so.
He is Bombay boy.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We are from Perth.
But... that one is from Konkani. Konkani?
Konkani. Konkani.
Yeah. Remember, Zaktani, do you remember when we went to Udupi by train? And you, that and there's that coastal area that's very green and lush? That's that area. That it's from.
I stood on the, in the open door of the train and took photos.
So beautiful.
And then you couldn't imagine that anyone could come from there to Mumbai. If you're coming to Mumbai or Bombay,
you know. I have always lived in Bombay.
Yeah.
But my uncle still lives there.
You still have land there?
My uncle lives there, so I visit him whenever we go to India, at least.
How often do you go to India?
Every year.
And how long have you lived in Perth?
Perth now 3 years. 3-4 years. Before that I was in Melbourne, so total 7 years I'm in Australia.
Are you going to stay here?
I want to move back, but my I don't know. It's confusing.
Why wants to stay?
We're gonna start a family quarrel here. Are you from Konkani too? But did you actually live there?
No.
She's from Bombay.
I'm from Bombay.
She's the only one from Perth. Who's from Bombay? What do you do?
Mechanical engineer.
What do you make? Aeroplanes?
Just conveyors in mining, material handling equipment. That's what we design.
What to do?
There's only two of us from Australia.
Sister
and I, we're the team.
Yeah.
Carrying the ball, Advance Australia Fair.
Gopal, he is from?
North India. He's from North.
He's older than South. South Indian one just left.
Huh?
He's only from South when he's standing on his head.
That he can do too. Okay, any questions or comments about what we just read? Because we just finished the chapter of the killing of Pralambasura by Balaram. Now we shall read a little more. While Krishna and Balaram and their friends were engaged in the pastimes described above, see, because we see in Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, there is a mixture of Naralila and Aishwarya Leela, because if Krishna only performs his Naralila pastimes and we only will see that, we will forget that he's actually unlimitedly powerful and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's always something where someone will offer some prayers to Krishna and reveal Krishna's actual unlimited position, even though out of love he is acting as if he is just a person, ordinary person. He's a person always, but as if he's an ordinary person. Or someone will offer some prayers to him, and or he'll do something that no human being can do. So here, this pastime, this is one of the shortest pastimes in the tenth canto, in chapter 19. It is called here Devouring the Forest Fire. While Krishna and Balaram and their friends were engaged in the pastimes described above, the cows being unobserved, because what were the boys doing?
Playing.
They were just playing, and they were completely involved in their playing pastimes. The cows were unobserved. They began to wander off on their own, entering further and further into the deepest part of the forest, allured by fresh grasses. Because this also shows how the cows are with Krishna and lured away by, they wandered away from Krishna like that just because they wanted something to enjoy. They went far away from Krishna. This lesson is also given that we should be aware of that. Even though one, it is possible, even if one is with Krishna, to be allured away somehow or another. So they went further and further into the deepest part of the forest, allured by fresh grass. So there were many types of animals, not just cows, but there were goats, cows, and buffaloes. They traveled from one forest to another and entered the forest known as Ichakatavi, Ashikatavi, which is closer to the Yamuna, I believe, closer to the Vrindavan part of the Yamuna. This forest was full of green grass, and therefore they were allured. And this is also called Mantavali, I think, because which has the meaning that it was full of many reeds, because it was a watery area, so many like bamboo type of cane reeds were growing there. So when they entered, so that forest was famous for that. So when they entered, they saw there was a forest fire, and they began to cry because they were helpless. Ultimately, they were helpless. They were trying to enjoy, but ultimately, when it came to it, they were helpless, and therefore Krishna was hurting them, caring for them. But he and the cowherd boys got so involved in their playing that the cows wandered far away. Now on the other side, they were crying and wooing, crying for Krishna to come. Because sometimes it is only when there is danger that we stop our silliness of sense gratification and we turn and cry for Krishna. Sometimes that happens when there's danger. Otherwise we become involved in our petty, small-minded pursuits. So on the other side, Krishna and Balaram, along with their friends, could not find their animals, and they became very aggrieved because Krishna loves the cows so much, and they were thinking that, oh, this is our source of livelihood, and we've been trusted, because this was very early in while they were taking care of the cows, because this is in chapter 19, and just in chapter 15, Krishna and Balaram, because they were very, very young, and they were given charge of the cows. So they were just 5-6 years old. So they felt so bad. We've been entrusted with the cows, and we've wandered away, and this is the livelihood of our whole community. What are we going to do? We have to find them. So they were thinking just like ordinary cowherd boys and ordinary humans. They became very aggrieved. But we already know that Krishna knows everything. This has been stated because he immediately understood that Pralambasura was a demon. That was the last time we heard this. And he told Balaram, now isn't the time for you to forget your position in Krishna. He reminded Balaram, and now Krishna and Balaram and the other boys, they became aggrieved because they couldn't find the cows. How is this possible? Of course it's not possible, but with Krishna he can do the impossible continuously all day long, because what's impossible is for us to understand the mentality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what's actually impossible. So what did they do? They began to trace the cows by following their footprints. They began to go, we have to find the cows, we have to find our cows. There's so much anxiety. And then the cows at the same time were in so much anxiety because not only were they separate from Krishna, or rather not only were they surrounded by a forest fire, which is terrifying, but they were also separate from Krishna because Krishna is their shelter, their complete shelter. So when one feels oneself separated from one's shelter, one naturally feels that there is something really deeply missing in one's life. And especially when we feel separated from our shelter, and we're in danger, and all one can do, and when there's nothing one can do, and the cows, what do? They could just cry. So the cowherd boys, while the cows were crying, the cowherd boys were following the footprints, and not only the footprints, but also because cows, when they walk through an area, they're not very subtle. They don't follow the paths. They just walk wherever they want because they have hoofs, so they don't need to be careful where they walk, and also they trample anything that they see, and they're not very conscious of having to walk in a careful way. So the boys were following the footprints as well as the path of eaten grass, and also the grass that was knocked down. They were following to find the boys, find the cows. And all the boys were fearing that their very means of livelihood, the cows, were now lost because this Krishna Gorak Savani Jan Vaisa Karma Svabhava Jan, that that which the nature, that occupation, born of the nature of a Vaisa community is Krishna Goraksa, farming, cow protection, and manizam, trade. So the boys were fearing that the whole livelihood of the whole community, the cows, was lost. When searching out the cows in the forest, they themselves became very tired and thirsty. But then, in the distance, they heard the crying of their cows. So they immediately felt some relief despite their thirstiness and their tiredness. And then Krishna began to call the cows by their names. Just imagine how wonderful that was, because the shelter of all living entities is Krishna. And the shelter of the cows was Krishna. And the cows were crying for lack of their shelter, and then Krishna was looking for them. And he began to call out them by their names. Hey Davali, hey Samali, hey Madhangamukhi, hey
Pingali,
hey Gangi. He's calling them by their names. So who can imagine how their hearts turned when Krishna, who had so much love for them and was all attractive and who was their shelter, called them by their names. With great noise he called them, oh, loudly, loudly. And upon hearing Krishna calling, the cows immediately replied with joy. How did they reply with joy? Oh, Krishna! No, cows don't do that. Ma. Ma. Oh, Krishna. But Krishna recognized they were calling him. The cows immediately replied in their own way with joy. You can hear the difference when cows, when they're happy, when they're unhappy, and also when they're hungry. They moo in a very complaining way. You have heard?
Mm. Yeah.
You have heard? Not in Bombay. No cows allowed in Bombay. But they complain when they're hungry, and you can tell they're really getting there. They're angry. You're supposed to take shelter of us, give us shelter. You have to feed us, and we have no way of getting our food. And then they complain in an angry way. So they also have emotions. Cows also have emotions. And you notice how the cows are always licking each other? Quite amazing. They show so much affection. But by this time, the Krishna was calling the cows, and the cows responded with joy. But by this time, the forest fire had surrounded all of them, because the boys walked into the area where the cows were, and the forest fire now had surrounded all of them. What was going to happen? They had fallen into the trap of their fate. And the flames increased. The situation appeared to be fearful. It appeared that everything movable and immovable would be devoured because the wind was blowing very quickly and fiercely. It was whipping up the forest fire. And forest fires are very terrifying because if they surround you and it's just heat and there's no way you can escape. The birds can fly out, the animals can run, but the small creatures, they can have a very hard time escaping, and especially if it surrounds them, they're doomed. And then the doom is increasing and it's coming in closer and devouring everything, and the wind is blowing. All the cows and the boys became very frightened, and they looked towards Balaram and Krishna the way a dying man looks at the picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we have so many illusory, so many things in this world that in illusion we think they are our shelter. Pasana pina pasiti. Even though we have seen that actually the things of this world, they are durasraya, they are not actually shelters at all. We have seen this, they can't really protect us. So that's like at the time of death, we see that everything that we have put our trust in this world ends up just being zeros, worthless. And then where do we turn? If we're pious and if we are very fortunate, we can call out the name of Krishna. We can turn to the picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one focuses all one's hope at that time on the merciful Lord. So in that way, in a similar way, the boys looked at Krishna and Balaram, the cows, and they said, "My dear Krishna, my dear Krishna, you and Balaram are very powerful." They said it with full simplicity and full faith and full trust. They began speaking of Krishna's glories. "We are now burning from the heat of this blazing fire. Let us take shelter of your lotus feet. We know you can protect us from this great danger. Our dear friend Krishna, we are your intimate friends. It is not right that we should suffer in this way. We are all completely dependent on you, and you are the knower of religious life. We do not know anyone except for you." They fully took shelter of him because he was fully and always their only shelter. This is the very nature of the residents of Vrindavan. They know no one other than Krishna as their Lord and their shelter. And any time, anena savadogani yavan yasya tarishyata. Gaugamuni told Nanda Maharaj that this boy, you will have many dangers in life, but this boy, if you take shelter of him, you will cross over all these dangers. So all the residents of Vrindavan, only and always, in every situation, they took shelter of Krishna. So here, in this situation, surrounded by the winds and the flames that were increasing, they turned to Krishna, looked at him with their eyes wide open. "Oh, Krishna, we are suffering so much and we have no other shelter than you." Now what Krishna did, of course we cannot say now because it is past 8 o'clock. But I'll give you one hint, otherwise you'll be in too much anxiety. He did not let them burn. But he did what he did in a wonderful way. He saved them in a wonderful way. Okay, finished. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ki jai ho. Balaram ki jai. Gopinath ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Gopal ki jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Saraswati. Ho Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Okay.